games, gear, grills. Welcome to the Geek Grills Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to episode 135 of the Geek Grills Podcast. The Geek Grills Podcast still supported primarily by our patrons at patreon.com/grills or here on Twitch. If you're with us live, I am the Jen, and I am joined today by my lovely co-host, Linda, also known as True Noob.
Hello.
And September, also known as 9 of 12.
Hello, hello, hello.
We're all here, by the way. Just take a moment, everyone. Like, the planets have aligned. And there are three grills in one podcast again. Oh, man. But today we also have a special guest, host of Joystick and Mouse and the Dad Chronicle and one of the finalists from America's Next Top Podcaster, Alex Albisu. Hello.
Hello. And you said my last name right. I'm so happy.
Yes. Well, I try real hard. That's like the hardest thing.
That's a tough one, guys. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
We're super stoked to have you. So all you crazy nerdies, what have you been up to? Linda, what's been your, well... What have you been up to the last couple weeks?
I went to MomoCon. I had a really, really good time. Even though I didn't finish my Pink Diamond cosplay, for those of you who are with us live, you can see it. Did I turn the right way? No, I did not. You can see it. It's there behind me, not quite done yet. But I did get to wear a crocheted cosplay because I had one done from Dragon Con last year. So I did my Sailor Saturn. The three most asked questions in order were, is that crochet / knit? Did you make that? And are you hot?
yeah.
Every time.
But your Sailor Saturn costume is so good though. I love it. I think it's cool you got to wear it again.
I was so happy. My husband managed to take one of my favorite pictures that anyone has ever taken of me. At a con in a cosplay, and I don't know if that's I don't know if that makes me sound self-centered, but I don't care.
No, not at all.
It's really good.
Nope.
Fine.
You have to love and appreciate how much effort and work you put in. It's awesome.
If you can hear a little bit in my voice, I did get sick afterwards. Getting over that. I didn't get so sick that it like flattened me. I was still able to like go to work. But I guess my flu shot from Dragon Con is finally wearing off. So, time to get another one.
Flu shot. But
was the full-blown flu, or did you just get, like...
No, it was like a head. It's like con crud head cold, so...
Yeah. That sucks.
Yep.
Yeah. It's the worst. I had the flu twice this season, and it's, like, the first time I got a flu shot. And I'm like, great. Good job. Good job, guys, who picked which flu strains to use for the flu shot. It did not work out very well. Well, yeah, Concrete sucks.
We did two of that this year.
Yeah, man.
Two of us got the flu shot and two of us didn't, and it was the right one, because the two people that didn't get their shot got the flu.
Do you guys do this on purpose? Like, is this a family experiment? Now I have to know. Like,
well, no, it was just like, when I wanted to take Fletcher, he had little colds and stuff, and you can't get it when you already have a cold.
That's right, yeah.
And then, you know, Rubs, a grown-up and should go get his own, and he fucking didn't, so he didn't get one.
I just think it's going to be funny, right? All right, guys, this season, two of us are going to get the flu shot, pull straws, and the other two are not, and we're going to see how this works out.
Although my tattoo artist was being all anti-vax weird, like, I don't know, I just don't trust it. I was like, listen, dude. Flu just went through my house. Half got it, half didn't. Guess what?
Yeah, I know a lot of people that didn't get the flu that did the flu shot. So it's like, hey, it's sometimes it just depends on the strain. Well, September, what have you been up to?
Well, I've been door dashing a whole lot more. That's been fun. I'm trying to like save for more tattoo work, but the new dog keeps costing money. Like, he got over his ear infection and all that, but then he got out of the fence, and so I got, like, electric fencing stuff, and he keeps getting the trash, so I got him a crate, and yeah. So now my door dashing keeps going to this stupid dog. But I did sell some jewelry.
Yay!
At the Coffee Lodge. They gave me my first check the other day.
That's awesome.
And that I put straight into the tattoo fund.
Yay!
Mine, damn it.
I know, they're expensive.
Yeah, and, you know, this back piece is, like, taking a lot.
Yeah.
But it's worth it. And they're changing the commission at Coffee Lodge from 5% to 20%, which was predictable, and that's still really good. That's better commission than I've ever gotten around here. So I'm like, no, it's fine. I knew you were crazy. I tried to tell you. Well, good for you trying five.
Right.
Comics. Mention the comics. So, Dear Justice League. If you haven't seen this, it's freaking adorable. I love the art. I left my copy downstairs. But anyway, I picked up a copy on Free Comic Book Day. And then my friend Leanne, her son Thomas, he showed up at my cookout this weekend. And he brought me an Iron Man he had drawn me. He, like, went to and did a YouTube tutorial and drew me this cool Iron Man, and it's on my fridge now. And then I ran in Leanne the other night. She's like, "I want Thomas is getting interested in reading, and I want him to do comics. Like, what do you think?" I was like, oh, "All right, I have the perfect thing." So, Dear Justice League is it's like people are emailing like Superman saying, "Man, sometimes I just screw up, and you're so perfect. Are you always perfect?" And then it kind of goes through Superman's day, and then he writes back to the kid because Superman does a lot of screwing up after thinking, "I never do." And it's a really neat little pen pal with superheroes thing.
That actually might be cool, because I always get frustrated at like the perfection of Superman. That's always been the annoying. It's like the Scott?
Different heroes.
So Scott
it's like
from the X-Men.
Kids writing in and getting responses, and the little comics tell the story of the superhero's day while he's answering. Or she.
That's cool.
So I looked it up, and I was like, "Leanne, I mean, we want to not go, you don't want to go buy a bunch of them." He's going to hate it. So I'm going to give her the Free Comic Book Day one, because I'll tell you what, folks, Free Comic Book Day is so great for that. Go give them to your local elementary school. Go take them to your library. It's a good way to get people interested and doesn't cost you anything. So I'm going to give her that, and I did look it up, and I sent her a link, because in August, the trade paperback is coming out. So he'll be able to see this issue. If he likes it, in August, you'll be able to buy him basically the whole set.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's super cool.
So that's nerdy shit I've been up to.
Yeah. Like, lots of, you know, we're all catching up at the same time. It's again, it's been kind of crazy. But I guess getting into, like, spring and summer, it gets like that sometimes. Travel and all the things. Alex, what nerdy, geeky stuff is going on in your universe?
Oh, my God. All right, so... Where do I even freaking start? So I've been traveling over the past couple weeks internationally, which has, you know, I'm kind of geeky. I'm starting to become a little geeky about travel. And I've like started to enjoy some of the places that we've gone to. Like I went to Budapest for work, which was pretty fun. And if you're following me on social media, you probably saw a bunch of pictures from there. And then we went to London. And let me tell you guys about the Harry Potter tour that I took in London. This was like...
Oh, awesome.
This was the studio tour. That's what I like that shirt. Nice. and so the studio tour, they had like all the set pieces, everything from the movies was set out, and it was guys, it was legit. I posted a ton of pictures on social media, so people can go check that out. And of course, you know, like they spit you out not only once into a gift shop, but they spit you out twice into a gift shop. Halfway through the thing, it's like a 3-hour tour, by the way. So it like halfway through, after you literally go through the Forbidden Forest in from Harry Potter, where like you see all these gigantic ass spiders and stuff pop out of nowhere, which is terrifying, by the way. Legitimately, it made a little girl cry as she was walking through, like the lightning. Like lightning erupts, like they're gigantic spider. Like if you remember them from movies or whatever, these are the actual props, and they come like jumping out and falling from the ceiling and everything. And,
nope.
And this poor little girl walks in all happy, and then like starts freaking out and turns around and books it. And parents had to go chasing after her. So that was kind of funny and sad all at the same time. But right after that, they spit you out into this this gift shop, and then so of course we spent money there and a lot. More money than we should have. And then at the very end of the thing, they're like, they spit you out into another gift shop, and they got completely like different stuff in that gift shop compared to the one that we were just in. So between all that and like the butterbeer that we got at the end of the tour, that was all awesome. So that was kind of like a highlight of a geeky thing that I got into. Beyond that, playing a little bit of World of Warcraft, and finally got my Colterian humans Very excited about that.
Yeah.
Like level one, it was just kind of a goal, an objective of mine, and I hit it, so it was fun. That's what I've got going on. Speaking of comics, by the way, Saga. You guys familiar with Saga?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I've started reading that because my co-host on Joystick and Mouse has, you know, a couple of, like, the big, like, compendium things, so he gave me the first one, so I'm working my way through that. That is awesome. It's so good.
It's one of my favorites, for sure.
Yes. Yeah, so that's what I got going on.
Fun stuff. I have been a busy bee myself. Let's see. So work still with the new job, getting settled in, all those things. And it was weird because I had like 2 days of work and then Vegas and then back. So it was a little strange going from Vegas to back to the real world when it's like a new job. But yeah, school started. I've like third to last class, so that's awesome. As far as my TV watching, I've been continuing to my binge fest of things that I've been meaning to watch. So I did make it through everything that's available for Handmaid's Tale. I still say it's really good. I definitely encourage folks to check that out. I was actually impressed. And I caught up on Fear the Walking Dead, which I hadn't watched in a really long time. I started actually from the beginning and got caught up on it. And then I had no idea that the new season is available as of today. And so I was like, oh, that was like a random, like, delightful happenstance, because now I'm caught up just in time and I don't have to wait very long. So that's awesome. So I definitely will be watching that. Same with the playing of WoW. I have had a Tauren druid for 8 million years that I have been trying to turn into a Zandalari troll this week. I was finally able to do so. And the reason this is so exciting is dinosaurs. All your fight forms and flight forms are freaking dinosaurs, like, and lizards, sure. And it's super cool, and I'm super excited that I have my Zandalari druid. And then now I have the... Am I going to raid, or am I just going to play in-game stuff? We'll see. But my goal is actually to get the Kul Tiran next for my alliance side, so I can have the cute, adorable Kul Tiran folk. They're awesome people. I don't know. I just like the way they did the models a lot.
I like them too. I made a warrior. And he's just kind of like sitting there now. But you know, they're like big and beefy. They look like linebackers. You know, like,
yes.
So I had to make a warrior.
I like them because they're strong, chubby ladies, and I like them. And I'm like, yeah. I just want to make a strong, chubby lady shaman or something. She's gonna be awesome when I get there. So let's see. Met up with some Diamond Clubbers and DKG kids in Phoenix. Shout out to Time Jumper and Sunbun, and TVZ Gone and Marbles, and of course, you know, me going to Phoenix is always 2 weekends in a row, if you can believe it, because I had the hiking and the whatnot and the botanical gardens in Phoenix. And then the next weekend was meeting up with all the nerds in Phoenix. So it's been a lot of Phoenix for me. I'm good on Phoenix for a hot minute.
The Terror of Tucson.
You're right. The Terror of Tucson visits the lovely city that is Phoenix. No, we went to Lolo's, which is Lolo's Chicken and Waffles, which is crazy delicious. So good, and chicken. Super awesome. Yeah, so it was super fun, and I was excited that, like, Sheep and a bunch of other folks came out, so it was cool. We had a good handful of people just hanging out in Phoenix, which was cool. So, yeah, that has been my adventures in nerditude lately. I suppose that brings us right to the Geek Grapevine.
Crew's team, assemble!
Geek Grills Grapevine.
So, tomorrow is WWDC. Yes. Yay! I know not all of you care, but I am a bit of an Apple nerd, so I'm looking forward to it. There's some hardware announcements being speculated, which I think is really quite a thing. They might be releasing a monitor, which hasn't happened in a super long time. I will have in our show notes, and I have posted in the chat, the link to a live blog that Ars Technica will be doing, so you can catch up with everything that happens tomorrow. My phone has been nagging me all day. I know there's an update coming for iOS, and that's a little... They're treating it a little differently, so I'm really curious to see what it actually entails. I know that they're splitting some things up, and that's been coming, right? iTunes has gotten clunky. I quit using it a lot of the time because I mean, there's just too much in there. And mm-hmm. they've been pushing their podcast app, and then they changed the way that worked, and then they changed it back. So they're streamlining, making Spotify? Those into different apps.
Yeah, are you using Spotify?
No.
What do you use for music? Just curious, because I'm kind of like I'm an Apple fanboy personally, and I'm using iTunes, and so I'm curious.
YouTube is what I use for music.
Honestly, okay. So my bestie was in town. She is an iPhone user, like dedicated Mac or you know Apple user, and she is rocking Spotify. She finds it best and easiest to use in the car, and easiest to grab what she wants. And fun fact for those of you that don't know, you can get a super cheap subscription to Hulu and Spotify if you're a student. It's like $4 a month, so you should do that. You have to deal with commercials, but it is kind of cool to get both for free. Oh, for like a small amount.
Yeah, I don't use my phone a lot for music, actually. I have a few playlists. Like, I do use the music app for my workout playlists, for instance, when I go to the gym. But I use Overcast for my podcast, and that's mostly what I plug into and listen to in the car. Although Sirius has been free for a little bit, and that's making me happy because I can listen to First Wave all the time. But I do hope they straighten it out. The big reason I stopped using mostly iTunes was organizing my music and podcast in one place, and you could just drag and drop and resort, and it became sloppy. And it was duplicating, and it was just harder to take care of. Same thing with their podcast app. It was great, and then it started not paying attention to what order I wanted them and not saving it correctly. It would pick up at the beginning, even if I stopped in the middle of a show when I went back to it.
Oh, that's, like, my biggest pet peeve. Like, I need you to not ever do that to me.
Like, my iTunes would do a thing where it cut off the end of songs.
Oh.
Like, yeah, like, I'd be listening through to a song, and it would just, the last, like, 30 seconds or minute wouldn't be there. It was just gone.
Yeah.
That's terrible. I never had that problem.
Yeah, me neither. Yeah. That's strange.
That is no bueno.
Separating it, I hope we hear a lot about this tomorrow and that they straighten it out, because I like having it all in one universe. I like the security of it and the ease of use that I'm used to with Apple. I feel like Steve died and they stopped paying attention to that end user, what we want stuff, right? They mm-hmm. got, I think, buried in their own, but it's better this way, but it's better this way, you know, world that he always saw through to the end on. So
for work, I have
that
to use.
And hopefully some of these hardware things. I'm very, very curious.
So for work, I have to use an Apple laptop. I haven't touched an Apple device, like a computer or a laptop, since I was in college, which was a while ago. And I feel like such an idiot. Like, I can't even copy and paste. I don't understand how to, like, open things. I'm like, I was, like, hitting up Curtis. I'm like, Curtis, help me. How do I, no, for real, though, how do I, like, find a thing that somebody sent me? Like, it got sent to me, and I don't know where it went. I feel like it's just a total noob, but yeah, it's interesting. So now I'm back into wanting to know more about Apple, because I'm going to be using Apple devices for work. So I have to be comfortable with it, I guess. I'll get there. Maybe. Mm-hmm. We'll see.
I think the trick still is going between the two, and I still use both. I mean, I still do all our editing on my Mac, even though my Mac is 10 years old. It can't even handle the stream. I have to do that on the PC because it's so old. But just the ease of use with just do the thing that makes sense to complete the task will work on the Mac. When you're used to the PC, in Windows, there's all this, like, it takes me 3 to 5 steps to do the same thing. It's like I kind of have to make it harder, and that's how it'll work on the PC. Like, people say Apple's dumbed down. I am a stalwart that, yeah, no, but the machine just works for me. It just does what I tell it to instinctively.
You know, I think that's a common thing that I tend to talk to people about, like, especially around iOS and Android. Like, it's not like one is better than the other. It's really just a matter of preference. Frankly, it's you know, what's the experience that you're looking for? And there's not a wrong answer there. I used to work for Apple, actually. And I remember these sort of keynote events being like real, like kind of like big events, you know, like we used to go to a big sort of HQ building, which is down the road. And we used to sit in the theater and watch it happening live. And yeah, I feel like, you know, to a point you made earlier, September, there was like, there was a real fervor around Steve going up on stage. I feel like some of that has been kind of lost since he died, unfortunately. But it's still kind of like exciting in my heart to hear, you know, like what's going to be kind of coming up on the horizon tomorrow. And like, just for instance, the monitor thing that you were talking about, I remember selling those like big 30 plus inch monitors. They were like gigantic, hooked up to a big tower. And they were good monitors. They were hella expensive, but yeah, I can't wait to see if that is something that they're actually leading with. That's great. Also, an overhaul on the Mac Pro, I think, would be a lot of fun to kind of see what they end up doing with that.
Yeah, that they're actually talking about component-based, I think, is also really exciting.
Hey, you might be able to upgrade that that 10-year-old Mac.
Holy no, hell, not this funny. One. It's way too closed system.
But it'd be
nice to do that in the future, and that's maybe like, but you can never upgrade it, and you can never add stuff to it, and people don't get Macs because of it. But then again, you have that safety, you have that solidity, and it will last you 10 years. I don't need to upgrade it until after it's obsolete. But if they get it so that it's still self-contained enough, it still has that quality control of it being only their products and they're all going to work together, but you could add more RAM later if you need to, or change the processor, would be an interesting step. I'm not going to get my hopes up they're going to go that far.
No, I mean, maybe they end up going that direction. I mean, but to your point, like, my dad used his PowerBook G4 for, God, like, it was like 7 or 8 years or something. And for a laptop, holy shit. Like, that's a long time for a laptop.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a geriatric laptop.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. My dad had his Dell for a really long time, though, too. But that was like the one, those like Dell Latitudes, like those first ones were.
Solid.
But they were solid, absolutely solid. And nobody has ever done laptops that are that reliable since. I mean, I literally had to buy a laptop for school, and I got one that died after like a week. Luckily, it was like under warranty, and I can get another one. But I was like, seriously. And then something happened to that one. It's like, oh, geez. Like, come on, guys. But that's how it is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I
no.
Mean, I've worked at the company I'm at now for about almost 4 years. I've had, like, 3 different Dell laptops just because they keep crapping out on me. And, you know, yep. I mean, I actually enjoy using a PC. Like, the computer right over here is my gaming PC. Like,
yep.
I use it for different things. So I'm not a purist by any stretch of the imagination. But there is something to be said about sort of the longevity historically that I've seen with Macs. So looking forward to what they have to announce tomorrow.
Yeah, no, that I'm interested too to see. I very seriously considered getting more into it again, going the more Apple way for, you know, different things for music production and stuff like that. But we'll see. I'm excited to see. So I put this next one in here, and it mostly is in here not because of who they cast for Lenina, but because I didn't know that, like, my favorite book is being made into a show. And I was like, wait, what? So Brave New World, Aldous Huxley's novel, which I'm sure a ton of people were forced to read in high school. That's, like, a really popular one to force on the children.
I love that book, too, though.
Yeah. No, I have reread it more times than I should admit out loud. It's I also really like his other books, too, but I'm excited to see this as a show. So it's going to be on the USA Network, and possibly the NBCU streaming platform, which I don't even know where the fuck I'm going to access that. But when the show comes out, I guess I will Google the how the fuck to stream this and figure it out.
Where there's an internet, there's a way.
Yeah, yeah. Right? Like, I actually been having a hard time because this is the first season where the clampdown on the RuPaul's Drag Race stuff has been so hardcore that I, without having a subscription that I can't afford, I can't even get it like I normally could. And the cost went up to buy the episode. So I'm like, oh, man, it's getting a little crazy trying to figure out where everything is all the time. But I am very excited that they're making this into a show. I'm interested to see how that goes.
Cool.
Yeah.
And I put up this last little bit tidbit here. The first trailer for Dark Crystal: Age of Resistance dropped, and I was so excited. I watched it going,
It's so pretty. Look at all the puppets. They're flying. I was so happy.
Yeah. So they film sacked this recently, by the way. If you don't listen to Film Sack, it's good times. And Scott Johnson and crew film, oh, and Brian Ebbett too. Of course. But they did the original recently. The original. And it made me go back and rewatch it. And I was like, there's some stuff that is not, is showing its age a bit, a little bit.
Well, honestly, I actually never seen The Dark Crystal, like the first one.
So, coming home from
Europe, I had taken off the rest of the week. I got home on Wednesday and then I said, you know what, I'm just going to take off the rest of the week. And then, you know, I'm heading back to work tomorrow and I got to start traveling again. Anyway, so I said, I'm going to sit down and watch Dark Crystal. It's free on Amazon Prime right now. So I hopped on the internet and started watching it and I couldn't get through it, guys.
Oh my gosh.
But here's the thing. I couldn't keep watching it when I had to stop it. Like I had something I had to go and do. But the whole time I'm like, man, this just doesn't hold up. And I feel so bad about that because everybody talks so highly of this movie. And I will give it another shot. I will. Just like...
I think you have to put yourself, like, in a younger mindset in some ways.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it was meant to be a kid's movie, but then it was so dark.
Dude,
right? So there was definitely a lot of niche people that grabbed onto it. I mean, it's called a cult classic.
You do have to get over the fact that the protagonist is a little bit of a whiny bitch at the beginning.
Okay. All right. So, like, I'm really actually happy to hear you say that because it was the whole time I'm like, God, this guy's kind of a wiener.
Like, he is.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm happy to hear that. All right.
No, not just you.
Guys,
From someone who likes the movie, yeah, he kind of annoys me a little bit.
The things about the trailer, people are like complaining about the look being so different because they're using some CG, but they are still obviously using some practical effects and puppets. And from what I saw in the trailer, I'm happy with the combination there. I mean, they could have gone way overboard and completely modernized it. And I think it would have lost a lot of the feel that you get. It would have lost the Henson, right?
Yeah,
sure.
It really is like it feels so genuine, it's really paying homage to the original, and that's really what made me want to watch the original because I was like, dude, this looks badass. I really want to like see what this is all about finally. And I was like,
It's definitely gonna be less clunky.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't watched the trailer yet. I will definitely be checking it out though. I can't believe it's this soon that we have a trailer already. Yeah. Like this is so quick.
It's coming out soon. Like it's coming out this year.
There are too many movies this year.
But yeah,
I went to trivia on Thursday and there was a question about the trailer, like the trailer for what, you know, the sequel to what movie, Age of Resistance, came out this week, and I was like, oh, I know.
if you want some interesting, like a look at the back end of it, they usually have, you can find the like the look backstage of them doing all the stuff with the puppets for the original. I know it's on the special features for the version of it that I have on Blu-ray, but it's very interesting.
I remember seeing those because I had a friend who had it on Laserdisc.
Yeah, I remember working in the library and having to check Laserdiscs out to people, like, and they're like, oh, I'm sorry, what is this? What do I do with this? Yeah, it's not even old, it's just really... that the format was so weird.
Yeah, it's really interesting though because you get to see like when you look at the movement, it's like, oh, that's why they're moving in that way because the actors that are in these costumes are having to do it a very specific way to get them to move that. So I think you'd find that interesting even if you don't find the movie itself like super engaging. The artistry is really cool to look at.
Yeah, and that's actually something I was looking at because I have a tremendous appreciation for, like, how is the thing made? Like, my daughter is – I have a 2-year-old daughter. She's obsessed with Sesame Street, like, loves Sesame Street. And it drove me and my wife to, like, go to Google and be like, okay, but, like, how does Big Bird work?
Yeah.
How do they get Cookie Monster with the two arms and the guy with his, you know, moving his mouth and stuff? And just, like, watching the puppeteering – the amount of, like, it's like mastery, man. Like the way that these people are able to work these things, it's crazy. So yeah, no, I will absolutely, I am on the internet saying this for the record. I will go and give it another shot, people, I promise. But,
and by the way, this hits Netflix August 30th, by the way, just to give people the point of reference there. So yeah, it is coming up quick.
And as a quick aside, and a funny story about Laserdisc, it's actually from my husband. His parents were always on like cutting edge of everything that you could buy. And so when Laserdisc started to become a thing, they bought Laserdisc, not knowing that it would like not be a thing. And that was the first time he and his brother sat down to watch The Shining. And The Shining is on two Laserdiscs.
Yeah.
And
I was going to say, how many was it?
the first Laserdisc ends with the blood coming out of the out of the walls and everything. And he didn't watch the rest of it until he was like several years older. They were just like, nope. And they put the Laserdiscs away.
Oh, jeez. No,
my sons used an online handle of Laserdisc, but he had it in, like, leet speak with a, you know, 3 for an E. And
people are like, what is this?
You even know what that is? He's like, well, yeah.
It just sounds cool.
Made me feel old. He was trying to be, like, a hipster about it.
I was about to say, it sounds like a total hipster thing to be like,
right?
Yeah, I have Laserdisc.
Yeah, Laserdisc. Like, dude, no. You're
15. Oh, man.
You're not kidding anyone. You know that, right? But I get to see more Sketsies without having to go to World of Warcraft and visit the Arakoa.
Fuck the Arakoa. I get tired of killing them after a while. Sorry. I just went back and did some old content recently, and I was like, ugh, slightly traumatizing.
But remember the first time you saw them, you were like, oh, my God, it's Skeksis. I mean, they even call it Skettis. Like,
yeah, right? No, for sure. Absolutely. So he's been chatting with us. So today our guest is Alex. And Alex is another individual who is on America's Next Top Podcaster, podcast. And that is still a hard title to say, but we did it. yeah. So you, were in fact a finalist. Spoilers, people. It's been weeks, so don't get mad at me. yeah. So I guess what was first impressions, like, was it as hard as it, we all were like, this is so hard, we don't know how they're doing this. Was it that hard? How hard was it?
Yeah, it was I'll say this, you know, I think hard is relative. I think it was just a lot of work. Yeah. You know, if people aren't familiar with the show, go to americasnexttoppodcaster.com and go kind of listen through some of the content, because we had to make a new bit of content. We had to create a new podcast every single week. And people who make podcasts, like you guys know, like just even coming up with a thing in the first place is almost impossible. And we had to do that in 3 or 4 days.
In 10 minutes, like not just a new podcast. It's like
on the shows.
Yeah, yeah. Like you can't go, like that's a tough, sometimes there's things where you want to go longer or shorter, but it's hard to get something that's going to fit. And it's going to seem like you just grabbed an episode of a podcast and creating that illusion in like you said, doing it in a couple days and then working with teams remotely, like chaos. Like, I don't even know.
Yeah, that's part of it too, right? Like we were thrown into this thing and, you know, between me and Amy, because we were there the longest, I ended up in second place. And because of just like how much of a toll it takes on your, first of all, like your personal life, because every single night, you know, after we put the baby to bed, it's like, okay, gotta hop right on the podcast thing. Between that and then also just your creative output ability, like you just become creatively exhausted. And that was a term that I used towards the end of the thing. Amy and I were just kind of talking aside. And we were like, dude, creatively exhausted. Like I can't even think about how to create a new thing of anything. Like it was just way too much. So it was a great exercise for what I ended up kind of just realizing, like what I could do, like the capability that I had to create podcasts and do all that. But it was also just really time consuming to a point that yeah. was like that. That's what I think surprised me a lot, was how much time this actually took, you know?
Yeah. And I'm sure your wife was happy to see you again.
Yes.
Like, cause I, that yeah. was, that was the big thing.
she was a champ. We had a lot of conversation, and I think that's part of going into any sort of endeavor like this. And we saw that with the first guest who got eliminated, the first contestant, Brandon. Like, he just had a lot going on his plate, where, you know, he really wasn't able to commit the time to doing this. And you have to be willing to just go at it for, what was it? It was like 12 weeks. So almost 3 months straight of just the grind. And it was good, though. It was well worth it. It was probably one of the best experiences of my life.
That's awesome.
Now, the sequel is supposed to be happening. At some point, Brian said that was going to go out, the applications for this contest, at the end of April. But I haven't seen that happen yet.
It has not happened yet. I've been keeping my eyes open because in Vegas, Brian told me that all three of us, the ladies here, should apply for the next season of the show. And that was when we were in Vegas. Yeah. So it had not gone out at that point, at the end of April.
I'm waiting. And one thing about it is, like, Alex talking about the time thing. Because I was talking to my husband, I was like, all right, I want to apply to do this again. If I get in, I am going to need you to pick up some slack at, like, dinner time, bedtime. Like, and he's just, But I was like, all right. The bright side is, Brian said, this time, right on the application, it's going to say what nights certain things are going to happen. Mm-hmm. With the judges and everything. He's like, okay. Like, that made a huge difference in even the idea of being able to manage the time and apply and not get eliminated because there is something else on Wednesday at X day.
Yeah, there were a lot of things that, you know, and I'm kind of working closely with Brian and Hammond on some of the some of the interviews and stuff in between the seasons. I'm hosting the Diary of a Reality Competition podcast contestant. You talk about a crazy name. one of the things that I actually interviewed both of them about was around, like, the time constraint, and I'm pretty sure it made it on one of their recordings. But yeah, like they learned a lot about, you know, just kind of being setting expectations up front about what sort of time constraint that this is going to have. And I you know, to your point, having a partner who's fully invested in having you succeed at this, like, for me, that was tremendously helpful. But that also comes along with, hey, your partner has to know, like, what the days are. And it took a little bit of time for Deanna and me to figure out, oh, okay, so Mondays are the days where they do the eliminations. And then, you know, Fridays are the days where we got to submit the thing. So I'm going to need to work on these days. And it eventually kind of created a cadence in our personal life, but that it took a little bit for it to get there. I think that now that the precedent has been set with season one, season two should be a little bit easier.
Oh, yeah.
For contestants and partners of contestants.
I mean, you always learn lessons, right? It's a brand new concept. Like, you're going to learn lessons when you come through it again.
You still have to work around whoever ends up on your team. I mean, that's a bit we run into, and we're only in two time zones instead of three now when somebody's schedule changes. Like, you get thrown at people you don't know. You had an Australian. We had, like, trying to get that kind of time to work together with a team, and then they change your team. There's some of it that can't get much better. I think anybody applying still needs to be a certain amount of flexible.
Absolutely. And that's so true, man, because I was working with Gidget towards the later part of the competition, and, you know, thank God she has a crazy sleep schedule to begin with. Like, she kind of sleeps on West Coast hours anyway, and not really West Coast. Like, she was, like, up a majority of the time that I was awake too, so we were able to talk on Discord, we were able to email back and forth and share some ideas. But man, that is an outlier. If they end up putting somebody on this thing that's in the UK or, you know, not in the States, that's going to be a challenge. And certainly I don't envy their decision on however that has to work out, because holy shit.
All right. I have to ask, and your favorite of the challenges and your least favorite of the challenges, like, Favorite and worst.
Oh, God. My least favorite is easy. That's the comedy
one. Yeah, I knew you were going to say that one, because that is so ridiculous. That is such an ask. And even Jury, we talked about it when we were in Vegas, and he was like, yeah, that was insane. I don't even know how we're supposed to expect you.
That was mean.
like
be funny.
Schwood was our guest judge, or our guest coach for that week. And
he's super pointed and helpful and very, very streamlined in his opinions and helpfulness.
Yeah, like I gave him some shit on it on the Dad Chronicle because I interviewed him there and just kind of joking with him. But he was like, yeah, like either you have it or you don't. And in a lot of cases, it's so subjective that it doesn't really matter what you do. A lot of times people aren't going to find something funny. And especially if you only have a couple days to like really work something out. You've never done comedy with these people before. What do you expect? So good luck to you folks next year or next season, because that's going to suck.
Yeah, no, that's brutal.
So, maybe they won't do that one.
Oh, Brian will do it.
They are gonna
I guarantee
it.
You Brian will do it, because that is like the wheat from the chaff, like a challenge. Like, there's like that, who can really handle the chaos of this competition?
I mean, Amy almost got kicked, and she won the whole thing.
Yeah.
Amy almost got kicked that week.
Yeah, that's true.
Because we lost it, and we were all still a team then. So there was that's definitely easily my least favorite. My favorite one is probably, and this is not so much the topic, but actually more of like the emotion that I kind of was able to tap into. I did a podcast for my grandfather.
I'm so glad that you brought it up. Cause that was my favorite. It was actually one of my favorites of the entire show.
Oh, thank you.
It was really amazing.
And this is when it was just me and Amy, and it was coming off the tail end of that comedy one, actually. And they said you have to do a story. I think that was it was a storytelling podcast, and it helped me kind of tap into some feelings, some emotion that I hadn't tapped into for a while. My grandfather's been dead for a little over 10 years, and to kind of recap that story and to kind of share. It wasn't really sharing, but just revisiting what his impact on my life was and kind of that immigrant story, and talking more about how my love of music, of food, of family and everything kind of comes from him, helped it almost bring it full circle. So into this whole podcasting thing, because my podcasting career started on, talking about beer and geeky stuff. And he helped me like really become, appreciative of fine drink and fine food and all that sort of stuff, which kind of stemmed from that. So it was a wonderful experience. It was the, when, I don't know if you guys remember from the last episode, they were like, raise your hand if you cried from this show.
Yeah.
And it was specifically because as I was writing that out and I was writing the script, it kind of helped. I shed a little bit of a tear, and it's very rare for me to kind of feel that sort of emotion towards some kind of art that I pursue. So that was fun. That was good.
Yeah,
it's a great opportunity to have that kind of outlet where, what I'm doing matters.
Yeah,
personalized, because like so much of podcasting and streaming is just shouting out in the universe, and you're not even sure who's listening.
You're yelling, and you don't know if anyone's there.
And sometimes you finish something really good, and you're like, "Yeah, that mattered."
No, yeah. It, like
that's how I felt.
That one in particular, I remember because I was listening to everything, and I was listening at 1.5 times, like I do for most of my podcasts, because I need to like. There's a million things to listen to. It's the only way I can even get some of them in. And I was like heading to the grocery store, and I was going to have to take my headphones off. And I remember I stopped in the parking lot and put it like went back to the beginning after like being like a minute in, put it on like normal speed. And I totally had to sit in my car for like probably like 10 to 15 minutes afterwards. Cause I was just like, I had a similar, it's just one of those things where it makes you think about somebody that's been gone for a while, but it just hits you in a really cool way. And I think that's one of the neat things about podcasting as like a forum, right? Is that we're able to have these weird conversations with our listeners, asynchronous conversations with our listeners that like just create, just more waves of cool stories. And I don't know, it was really cool to not feel alone in that situation for sure.
Yeah, I think that especially around family and people passing, there's a common thread of how that emotion kind of hits, no matter who it is. And I remember Nicole saying, you know, it made her cry. And I was like, yes, victory. Because, like, I jokingly told my wife, I was like, I want to make at least one of them cry. And if it is going to be somebody, it's got to be Nicole. Because, you know, I just knew she had that sort of personality. I thought it would have been funny. But just to kind of hear how she related that similarly to her dad, I realized that it was even deeper than that. It's actually really personal. So. That's really cool. I'm glad to hear that you enjoyed it, Jen.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was really, really cool.
So well done. What was your experience podcasting before the show?
So I had a show. Okay, so from the beginning, I started out.
Well, this would have all gone in your intro, but
yeah.
That's fine. So I started listening to podcasts all because of Scott Johnson in the instance. And then one thing leads to another. You're listening to TMS. You're listening to other people doing podcasts like Pat Flynn. And, like, you know, I listen to a tremendous variety of stuff. And I said, you know, I like talking. I feel like I should put a mic in front of me. And I had this good friend of mine, Jojo, who we would always just sit around and talk about geeky shit. And we'd be drinking a beer. And we found ourselves entertaining the people around us, like, as we were having the conversation. So I said, hey, let's start a show. Let's do a podcast. So I said, we both like beer. Like, we actually created a podcast. It was called the Geek 30 Happy Hour. And it was all about geeky culture, cultural news, and all that stuff. But we would use it as a platform to feature local breweries here in the Northern Virginia area. And so we try a new beer every single episode, and we drink it on air. And in fact, we would actually do live shows at the brewery. So, like, we'd have a bunch of people come out and watch the show. It was a lot of fun. And then and so that was kind of like my forte, like my foray, like, right into podcasting. And that kind of took off. We had about 75 episodes of that, and then we ended up going our separate ways. But it was a lot of fun. And I think like, it's because of that I learned so much. Like, our first three episodes, I went out and bought this blue yeti sitting right here, and this sucker was not plugged in correctly for the first three episodes.
Oh man,
like, why does this just sound like my shitty built-in mic?
Well that was the thing, though. Like, we listened back and we were like, it doesn't sound great, but it doesn't sound that bad. And we realized, like, it was all from my MacBook Pro. Like,
yeah,
it's got a decent mic on there. But, like, why does it sound like there's a wind tunnel? And and I remember the third episode, my buddy Chris was on as our guest, and he goes, why is the input say, like, built in? And I'm like, fucking damn it. Are you?
That shit happens to all of us.
So I was so mad. But anyway, like, it's because of that show that I learned the very basics of, like, how to do all this stuff. And, you know, here I am. And then the Dad Chronicle came along, and it was due to my wife becoming pregnant. And I said, you know, I want to document my kind of experience through the lens of somebody who's about to become a dad. And
cool.
Something that I always wanted to do was to become a dad. So it was super important to me. So I started out documenting that, and then people loved it so much that they said, you know, keep going. And I ended up starting a culture where interviewing dads and, you know, talking about their experience with fatherhood. And it's kind of taken off since then. And I am at it'll be 69 episodes on Wednesday. So
excellent.
A lot of fun. Yeah. And Wendy Dunford is going to be on that episode.
Ooh. It's going to be awesome. For those of you that don't know, Wendy Dunford is Scott Johnson's sister and a real live actual therapist that goes on Thursdays on the morning stream and gives actual advice to actual people, which is kind of neat.
Yeah. And so she talks about, we talk about destigmatizing therapy, but then yes. We also talk about how partners can help their wives deal with postpartum depression and some other things like that. So it's really good. And Commander Meerkat, absolutely. Technical difficulties up there with death and taxes.
For sure.
And it still happens, man. Like, I've been doing this for a few years now, at least. And it still happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to have to talk to you after the show or something. Because my next project I want to take on podcasting, I want to do kind of a nerd parenting show. There were some good ones I used to listen to, and they've all pod faded.
Well, it's like Jerry's definitely... brother. Like, he and his wife, they did one when they were, like, with their first. They were, and it was super good. And then, yeah, it was gone. And I'm like, oh, where did it go?
And their parents was great. They had someone who had a disabled child. They had somebody, and they were all different ages of children. And it was such a great resource. And I started writing for their website. They wanted me to contribute articles, and then they, poof, disappeared. I'm like, darn it. So I'd like to fill that gap, and, you know, maybe join me. The other thing is, you're in Virginia, I'm in North Carolina.
Oh, that's easy. I'm in North Carolina all the time, by the way.
And I'm going to have to go down and check out
straight
the band.
I came straight to recording from the brewery I hang out in.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I had to take them. I made some guacamole, so I had to take them some guacamole, and they give me beer, and then... I come do my show. But my husband's band also has a gig coming up in September in Williamsburg.
Oh, very awesome.
We're going to have to hang out. We're going to figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Whereabouts in North Carolina are you?
Statesville.
Oh, okay.
North of Charlotte.
Yeah. Awesome.
I love it. I'm like the weirdo that's in the weird time zone on the other side of the country, like over here. Like,
but you
got
to go to Vegas and I didn't.
So. That's true. Alex and I, in fact, were also on the same overpants team, we couldn't even hear each other. Alex is going to be our strat caller, so we sit down, and we're just like, "What the? Like, I can't hear him. Like, you know, he's the one person we need to hear."
Shoot the guy! Shoot that guy!
Are you telling him to do what? Am I changing or is he changing? Are you playing her? What?
I'm sorry, did you hear that? Stick the microphone in my mouth in order for them to hear me. It was gross. I mean, Scott Johnson was just on that microphone, and it did like dog or something.
Oh, I know. Like, oh, geez. But it was still, it was super fun. And I still think the casting that was done by, it still was really cool to be at the HyperX like arena. That was like a really cool way to have it. It was fun. But yeah, listening to Scott Johnson and Brian Ibbett, who clearly do not play very much Overwatch, who are just like, the girl with the arms is doing the thing with her gun, and then they're going to go to the other part of the map where the things are happening. And I'm like, cool. Like, you could literally just play it behind any other, like, thing.
But I wouldn't have had it any other way. Honestly,
I know.
It was delightful.
It was really delightful.
If folks who are listening want to go and watch, I think it's on twitch.tv/frogpants. They got the recording there. You can watch our terrible performance.
You can watch Petey Rave dance in front of the camera, and you can see Sheep, Victoria Sheep, which for the remainder of the weekend, all we did was go, every time he came into the pool area or anywhere, we were like, sleep the sheep, and started chant. And in fact, last weekend when I was in Phoenix, Sheep's nearby. So Sheep came out to hang out in Phoenix last weekend, and like as soon as he walked in the door, Chicken and Lolo, I'm like, sleep the sheep. He's like, stop it. We're like, where's your medal? He's like, it's at work. He's super proud of it though. So adorable. It was a fun event. It was really cool.
The funny thing about people who don't really play commentating, it reminded me of, did you ever see the Conan ones where he goes to a con and does that, right?
Yes. Is
it BlizzCon doing that? It so reminded me of that.
Oh, man.
So what was the best advice you got during the process?
Oh, gosh. I think so. Jury said it best, and this is a really good point. It's like effort is like one of the most important things that you can really focus on when podcasting, because, you know, like it's easy to just throw yourself in front of a mic and just start talking, like, and that's what, you know, that's a great place to start. But like where you're going to end up going and how you want to be remembered and how you want to make an impact is really going to be on the effort. And I think a part of that is so a personal mantra of mine is, you know, what value are you bringing to the conversation?
Yeah.
And like when I create a show, like the Dad Chronicle, the value is that I want to provide support and resources for parents who may be struggling with whatever that is that they're struggling with. And, you know, that is a big part of it. So with that effort, going into a topic like therapy, for instance, the one coming up, like there has to be like, why are people going to give a shit when they listen to this thing? Oh, it's because, you know, they really want to figure out a way to solve a problem with, you know, with their kid. You know, I don't want to give away too much from the episode, but like you'll see when you listen to it. That's kind of what goes through my mind based on a lot of the stuff that Jerry had mentioned. And honestly, in a lot of cases, the value could also be entertainment. Like, you know, joystick and mouse is, you know, we bring up video game news topics, but it's also entertaining. We're fun and we have funny conversation, but I think it's just constantly having in the forefront of your mind the effort and what value are you bringing.
That whole why do I care?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. That's one of the things that Linda came onto the show it like ready to just tack, because that's one of the things we've loved to do is to talk about and, you know, destigmatizing mental health and therapy and all of that. Like, that has been a major part of what we've done. We've touched on that topic a million times on this show. And I know Linda, like, that was the thing. She's like not afraid, like, oh, that's let's talk about that. Like, let's talk about body image. Let's get crazy.
Yeah. Like, the second episode I did with Ember was body dysmorphia.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
In that episode, I've actually had.
What do you want to do? I don't want to, you know, make it too hard. I mean, you're just, you know, you're new to the show. She's like, nope, I'm not afraid. Yep. Let's do something really hard. All right. Yep.
That's where people are going to remember and they're going to give a shit because, you know, a lot of people are afraid to go there. And I think that it's important if you have the right sort of message and the right sort of frame of mind around some of these topics. Just simply having a conversation, a genuine conversation about it, really can change somebody's life because they hear it from a similar perspective where they may feel alone in the world about a topic like that.
You know? No, the emails, when we get emails like that or even tweets or like even just a direct message from somebody, it gets me every time when they're like, oh man, I just really loved hearing you say that. I'm like, oh, this is why I love podcasting. And I would like to note, just as a random aside, during our vacation last week was in fact the official 3-year anniversary of Geek Grill's very first episode, The Geekening, which came out on May 29th of 2016. So we have officially been doing this for 3 years.
Years.
It's nuts. Who knew? When it started with a weird Heroes game and now here we are.
Right?
Oh boy. Oh boy.
Hey, I think that bottle of wine, every
right? Right? Oh, man.
Gosh. We should have Joss on to celebrate.
I know. We should. We do the hat trick again.
Just do the rounds.
Oh, man. Any other last thoughts about, like, you know, the experience that you had that, you know, doing the show and just podcasting in general?
No, I think one thing that I'll say is that a lot of people have asked me like, oh, how do I get started? Like, what do I do? Just start.
Yes.
Frankly, just start. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Tom's interview went out for America's Next Top Podcaster. So toward in just some context around that. So I have been working with Brian and Hammond to put together a series of interviews where we're talking to all of the former contestants, the coaches, the judges and all these people around their experiences on America's Next Top Podcaster. So part of that, I talked to Tom Merritt and I asked him, you know, what do you say to those people? And Tom gave a lot of really good advice on like just how to start for free. Some people may think of it as like a financial burden to start. No, there's like no excuse, guys. Just go freaking do it. Also, they're afraid that, oh, what am I going to do? Everybody talks about all the things that I want to talk about. Guys, I do a freaking video game podcast. Do you realize how saturated the video game is? It's because I enjoy talking about it. And, you know, I have followers who are going to listen to it. And that's really why I do it is to have fun with it. Do it. Just do it. Just start. You know, I feel like that Shia LaBeouf meme. Like, don't.
Do it. No.
Just start doing the thing and it will and have fun with it first and foremost. If you really want to take it to the next level, just really take into consideration that why and really challenge yourself on what value you're bringing to the world. And shameless plug, just go to americasxtoppodcaster.com and go listen to those interviews because I'm having a lot of fun with them.
Also, shout out your website where folks can hear your podcast. We'll do it again later, but just so you can hear it again.
You can listen to everything, all the stuff that I got going on, incastmedianetwork.com, and you can see there are links there for the Dad Chronicle. There's links there for Joystick and Mouse. It's a lot of fun.
And yeah, we'll make sure to put that in the show notes for everybody too. And remember, you can always chime in. You can email us at geekgrills@gmail.com. You can give us a ring at 508-474-5577, or you can tweet us at geekgrills. So I hope you're feeling all like marinated, you know, this nice long conversation that we've had, because you're about to be grilled. So.
Oh, let's go.
Good. Good. I'm glad you're feeling good. So this is going to be a rapid fire would you rather questions. So
okay.
Here we go.
All right.
So would you...
Wait, hold on.
He's like, I need that. Right.
What are you drinking? What are you drinking?
I had this Sam Adams variety pack.
Summer?
I love their variety packs, honestly. It surprises me every time.
I don't have a problem with them. They just bought Dogfish Head Brewery.
I was going to ask if you drink Dogfish Head, because that's one of my favorite beers from when I lived in Northern Virginia, actually, is Dogfish Head.
Yeah, it's great. And everybody's all pissed that they bought them. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, it's going to be good. It's fine.
Maybe
like,
that just means I'll get better access to it out here on the other side of the country. That'd be cool for me.
It just means good stuff for distribution, man. I'm telling.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, North Carolina, we've been fighting forever for breweries to be able to distribute more. They have a limit on how much they can distribute. So people got really mad because Wicked Weed was bought by Budweiser. But Budweiser hasn't touched anything.
Yeah.
It's just a distribution point.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
I'm a little bit of a beer snob, but Sam Adams, like,
oh, I get a case,
the mix case, and I like half of them. My husband likes the other half, so it's like a really good backup beer.
Yeah, totally.
All right, here we go. So first and foremost, would you rather have to eat all of your food hot or all of your food cold?
Cold.
Okay, interesting. Would you rather have a head the size and shape of a baseball or the size and shape of a loaf of bread?
Because my head, I got a big ass, guys. And I think that if I were to have it a little bit smaller, that wouldn't be a problem.
Oh, and then the classic. This is the one that this is, oh man, priorities. Would you rather live without the internet or live without AC and heating?
AC and heating.
Yeah, same. I'll be in a fucking desert, 115 degrees, and make my shit still work.
Guys, we're in 2019. How the hell is anybody going to live without the internet these days? There's no way I could go the rest of my life without. This is like the heroin thing. You get a little bit of a taste, and you gotta keep on having it. Can't not have internet. What is that?
Would you rather have unlimited pizza for life or unlimited tacos for life?
Pizza.
Interesting.
Well,
see, I don't know.
All right, so here, let me ask you. I'm gonna get kind of specific. What sort of tacos and what sort of pizza?
I think any kind of taco, any kind of pizza.
I'm just gonna throw this out there as a little plug for my cousin because he is a chef, and he actually beat Bobby Flay. He was on TV and beat Bobby Flay at his.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Bobby Flay's such a
stick. So my cousin has a restaurant called Taco Bamba, and it is some of the best street taco style taco thing. So that if I can have Taco Bamba for the rest of my life unlimited, which I kind of do anyway because I'm family, and that's what I go for over pizza.
Oh my goodness. Okay, and the last and final grilling question: would you rather have no elbows or have no knees? So do you want noodle legs or noodle arms?
Noodle legs, only because I'm a guitarist and I gotta be able to kind of like, you know.
That's fair.
It's legit. It's legit.
I support all of those answers. All right, grills. What are you all anticipating? What's on deck for you right now? Linda, what's up for you?
I've got a LARP coming up, so it's another Garden of Destinies game, which means I get to do my jazz singer. Hopefully by
not next weekend, but the weekend after, which is when the game is, I'll have my full singing voice back because we are having a one-day battle of the bands to get rid of this demon...
Sure.
...lady performer stealing bitch that has been... I'm so angry. Like, she's been a villain for the past, like, half a year, and she's played by one of my really good friends who plays her really well. So I'm like, I hate you. Not really, but I hate you so much.
Those are, like, my favorite plots to run are the ones where everybody loves it but also hates it because they want to get through it, but they're also just really enjoying it. And so I'm just like, yes, this will continue. And then I'm like, ooh, but I don't want to end it. But then they're enjoying it so much. But at the same time, yeah,
it's funny,
the big bad
like,
forever.
Because she's got, like, a fancy name, like Alizarian, but I played off that my character doesn't care, and so she just calls her the demon bitch. So it's just, everyone knows who I'm talking about in play, so.
That's awesome.
That's coming up.
Oh, man. Ember, what's up for you?
Well, I plan on checking out, there's a new hookah lounge that opened up, like, two doors down from the brewery I hang out at. So that'll be neat. And I walked through, they had a soft opening last night, and there is a couch area in the back that has paintings of Harley and the Joker. I'm like, they made me a spot? All right. I will come back. Maybe playing some WoW. My son Victor got a job, and his first purchase from his first job was, Mom, can I sort of, like, use your account? Because you have all those mounts and stuff. And he wants that new raid, the Kul'Tarin. So he's been, like, doing that grind. I'm like, cool.
Awesome.
I might play. My account's active. So that's kind of a nifty little bonus. And, you know, it's really funny, though. The day before, he was trashing on Blizzard. Trashing on WoW. Like, this dead game. The company doesn't listen. You know, they can't balance a game. And then, like, the next day, can I sell with your account? So... Yeah. Heresy and Hearsay is moving to the former Geek Grill spot. So Tuesdays at 8 p.m. on my channel, twitch.tv/9of12, we'll be starting up Heresy and Hearsay again.
Yay. 8 o'clock Yay. Eastern, by the way.
Yes
Eastern.
Alex, what's up for you? What's I'm guessing more interviews, but any other fun nerdy stuff coming up for you?
Yeah, lots of interviews coming up across a lot of different shows. So I've got, America's Next Top Podcaster. Rishi's episode just came out. It's just kind of a rehash. I kind of add a little bit of extra context around the submission that I did earlier on for the show. But that is out. And this week coming up, I believe it's my conversation with Jury. So be sure to tune
fresh
in
off his pasta-eating trip to Italy.
Well, this was recorded back at
gotcha.
Vegas.
So oh boy.
It's just, kind of coming out. The Dad Chronicle, new episode coming out with Wendy Dunford this week. So you can go to thedadchronicle.com and make sure you subscribe on iTunes or I'm everywhere on Stitcher and Google Play and all that stuff. So Joystick and Mouse have some new episodes that are probably going to come out in a couple of weeks when I'm done traveling. So when you ask like what I'm anticipating, I'm traveling again. I'm leaving Indianapolis tomorrow for work. And then I got to go to Denver for work. And while I'm in Denver though, I'm going to catch up with Brian Ibbett and Nicole Spag, which will be a lot of fun. And then, that's kind of what I'm anticipating. It's like, I'm looking at like a 2 week kind of head start right now. I'm not really paying attention to too much more other than that. And I'm just, spending time with my daughter, and it's just a ton of fun.
That's awesome. How old is she?
Two.
She's
going on 16. It's great.
Well, me, it is, for me right now, it is, Dark Phoenix, man. I'm stoked. I'm feeling good about it. I'm knocking on all of the wood things nearby me as I say this. But I'm feeling real good about it, and I'm super excited no matter what just to have that story come up again because it's still one of my favorite sagas from like any comic book story. So I'm excited to see it. Looking forward to that. Ember, you want to remind the folks where we are live?
Well, folks, you can always come watch us record live at twitch.tv/geekgrills on Tuesday evenings, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific.
There you go. Awesome. And in addition to the subs and bits that we get on Twitch, remember, we are supported by our amazing patrons, the greatest grill friends on the internet. You can become a patron today, patreon.com/grills. And don't forget, if you have Amazon Prime, you can sub to us for free. You get a free month, free sub every month when you have Amazon Prime, and you can give us all of the Amazon money that they don't need. They don't need it. But we would like to have it so that we can do more. Yeah.
Bezos is fine.
That's right. Yep. He's doing great.
You can also leave us a review, which is free, and you can, if you do that, they help our ranking on any of the podcast catchers. You can help people find our podcast by just giving us a little boost. You can also join our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter if you'd like us to help spread the word there. I can talk, I promise.
No taco Sundays. Where can we find y'all on the interwebs? Alex, remind the folks one more time, where can they find you on the Twitters and the whatnot?
Sure, you can find me really anywhere on the social medias by just searching for at Alex Albisu. My last name is spelled A-L-B as in boy, I-S as in Sam, U. And then, yeah, all my shows and everything that I do is at incastmedianetwork.com. And, yeah.
Awesome.
That's it.
It's easy. And we'll make sure it's all in the show notes, too, for all you fine folks. And Linda, where can everybody find you?
You can also listen to me talk about women in gaming on the Glitter Dice podcast, and you can find me here on Twitch under the name True Noob. That's TRUN00B.
And September.
And I can be reached at 9of12, that's NINEOF12 on Twitter and Twitch, and you can hear me on the Heresy and Hearsay and Trust Your Cape podcasts.
I am The Jen. You can find me at The Jen Says on Twitter, streaming on Twitch, twitch.tv/TheJenPlays, and you can find everything I do at TheJenSays.com because I own the shit out of that domain still. Still. Thanks for listening, everyone, and good game.
Good game.
GG.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.